Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books, youth radio on WJXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported hands-on radio for Greene and Columbia counties. I'm Quinn. I'm from Haynes Falls. I'm 10 years old.
I'm Emily. I'm from Hudson. I'm the youth programs coordinator at WGXE.
And I'm Maddie. I'm from Caro, and I'm 11 years old. Quinn, Antonia, who is not here right now, she'll probably get here, maybe.
Not today.
No.
Hi, if you're listening.
Well, anyways. Emily, Antonia, Quinn, and I are here every Monday from 3:30 to 4 p.m. talking about books. Books that we love, books that we're currently reading, and
all the good stuff.
Yes, definitely.
All of it.
All of it.
And today on Bound by Books, we're going to do just that. We're going to talk about the books that we've been currently reading, or that I brought a couple that I haven't read yet that I'm excited about. But I think Quinn is going to start us off.
Okay.
What book did you bring today?
I brought Treasures of the Snow, which is
interesting cover.
Yeah, it's a picture of a grandmother, a dad, sister, and a little boy in the dad's arms.
It's about Where's six or the seven. Snow?
Well, it's called Treasures of the Snow. Actually, I don't know if I can tell you why it's called Treasures of the Snow.
You'll have to read to find out.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about the book?
I can tell you that it's about a girl who at one point in her life, she knew this boy who's lives kind of next door neighbor to her, except it's like 10 minutes away to each house because they live on a mountain in Switzerland.
Ooh, pretty.
And yeah, where it's very gorgeous. And they've never left the valley. And nobody really likes the child, the boy.
But her neighbor?
Her neighbor, yeah. Nobody likes him. And people have kind of just, like, ignored him. Like, his dad died when he was small, so his mother is probably the only person who really cares much about him. Even his sister is just, like, he's lazy, he's weird. Leave him alone. Because she's like 10 years older than him. And so what happens is he pushes over her toboggan in the snow, the girl's. And she gets very angry at him.
His sister? Or the girl?
No,
his neighbor.
The girl, his neighbor. Okay. Yeah. And ever since they kind of have like a little feud there. And so they were both angry at each other. And he does something he cripples her little brother, the girl's little brother,
by mistake.
He cripples by mistake. Oh. And he was teasing him. He pretended that he was gonna drop the little boy's kitten over a big stone wall, and on accident it actually fell. But it gripped the side of the wall just too far for the little boy to reach. And the boy was reaching and he fell. The other boy didn't touch him, but he fell and he broke his leg.
So he's not permanently crippled?
No, we don't know. it's kind of the whole book long, we're wondering if this is going to be permanent, that his one leg is kind of like, it's healing.
Because back then they didn't exactly have...
I don't know. It's kind of... He lives really high up on the mountain, so it's an hour down to the a little tiny hospital that doesn't... Obviously has lots and lots of patients. And the doctors don't have lots of patients, as in patients, as in... Yeah.
With a CE.
Yeah. Patients. Mm. And so... They didn't like that. They went down to the hospital and then they went back up again. They were just like, okay, we're not going to give him huge operations and things like that because he has a broken leg. And the other little... And it's kind of this horrible boy. And the girl is like, we're never going to forgive him, that kid. We're never going to forgive him. And the best thing about this book is how very early on when he gets crippled, very, very quickly after that, we completely switch views and we feel so sorry for the kid who crippled him. Because everybody hates him. Nobody liked him at the start, and now the whole town, everybody he knows, is turned against him. Even his mother is like, this horrible kid, he should be punished. And it said after he crippled him, directly after, that if anybody had saw him there, that they would instantly know that he didn't need to be punished. That he had got all the punishment he could get from just realizing this. Hmm. He thought he'd killed him. You know, he was... So, yeah. And I know it sounds so sad, the book so far, but it's wonderful, and it's beautiful, and it's... I really enjoy it. And this kid goes through tons, and because nobody really enjoys him. And the other girl, she... The other child, the girl,
who's
not his sister,
was crippled.
His neighbor. Yeah, his neighbor, the girl whose brother was crippled. Her name is Annette, and she did some pretty mean things to him. They weren't as bad as crippling her little brother, but they were pretty nasty things. And as soon as she told him, as soon as she wanted, please, will you forgive me? He instantly forgave her, and it was just, it's amazing. Just how interesting he was.
How so he turned from, like, book. A bully teaser
no.
to
No, he
good?
Never was a bully. He never was much of a bully. Oh, it was just okay. People just instantly saw him in a bad light and never saw the good sides of him.
Even before he crippled?
And there's this old man on the mountain who... The old man on the mountain, he's called, who, because everybody also hates him. And one day he was up in the woods, and he realized, while he was sitting there, that he could carve. So one day he went a little further in the woods.
Old man or the boy?
The little kid.
Sorry. Tried to keep them all straight.
The kid who crippled everybody else. His name's Lucien, who went up on this hill, and the old man on the mountain meets him there. And we haven't figured out his name through the whole book. They become friends because he doesn't know. But because he's the only person who doesn't know this bad deed he's done. But very early in their relationship, he realizes. And then the old man on the mountain tells him all the bad things he's done. And he's pretty wise just because he also did some bad things. And since he couldn't, like, get a job because of his bad reputation, he went to a new hill, a new valley, moved, and all he did was sit and carve wood. So, like, he
the
sat
old
there.
Man?
Yeah, the old guy. He just sat around carving woods. He's like, he keeps them company. And he doesn't have to do much because he has a cow, he has pigs, he has a goat. So... He'll sell these things down in the town because the old man on the mountain's only other friend, other than this kid, Lucien, is a wood carver who has a shop. And so it's about this kid. Very interesting. It's kind of about all the characters in the book. There isn't much of a main character.
Oh, okay.
It goes back and forth between...
Different, like, actual, the narrator changes in the book, or no?
No, the narrator is always, like...
Like an omniscient narrator, just like
anonymous,
yeah,
telling the different stories.
What's that narrator called that knows everybody what people are omniscient. Thinking. Yeah. That. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of them. Except sometimes it'll zoom in on one person. Mm-hmm. It'll change all the time.
Well, I like that kind of narration where it's...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I usually prefer when it's a third person narrator and it's...
Yeah. Not Terry Pratchett narrates
omniscient
that way.
Or limited. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks for sharing that one. So it's called Treasures of the Snow and it's by Patricia St. John.
Yep.
Am I reading that right?
Yep.
I think my favorite kind of narration is when, like, there's an actual character and it switches between different characters' points of view. But instead of saying, like, his, they say my, like, actual the person. Mm-hmm. I like that.
I also like when you, the ominous is really cool. How, like, it'll suddenly, you'll know what this person is thinking. And it'll zoom out and you'll only see what people are talking and you really don't want to know what people are thinking. You just have to kind of figure it out. Or sometimes you actually do see. And sometimes that doesn't even tell you everything. Mm. It just gives you hints.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Well, moving on to Maddie, what book did you bring today?
Sorry,
and
it
what
took
kind
so
of
long.
No, it's okay. It's a complicated book.
This is a very old book that my school library was giving away books last year. And this is called The Pinballs by Betsy Byers. It's about this, well, different people. It sort of switches. I think it's a third person narrator again, and it switches from different people's stories. Mm-hmm. So it's about three kids. I forget what, Henry, I think, Cassie, and someone else.
Harvey?
Thomas J. Oh, Harvey, not Henry. And they all go to the same foster house, all for different reasons. And Cassie, I think it starts out with Cassie's story. I read this a year ago, so I'm trying to remember it. It starts out with Cassie's story and how she's very irritable and she doesn't want to become friends with either of the two boys. And she doesn't want to like her foster parents or anything. I think they're there for a summer. Yeah. And they eventually become friends and realize that they can take control of their lives and do something good with them. Like that, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget what... Oh, it's Carly. I keep saying... Okay. Carly, Harvey, and Thomas J. Sorry, not Carrie. Not Carrie. So it's a pretty good book. It's really easy because it's just pretty fast. But like, if you want to just sit down and read a story, it's a good thing to read.
Cool. Of the three characters, Carly, Harvey, and Thomas J., did you have one that you connected most with or that you liked the most?
I don't know. Not really. I didn't connect with them because I wasn't anything like them. But I don't think I had a favorite.
You wasn't anything like them?
I wasn't anything like them.
What? You wasn't anything like them? You aren't anything like them?
Oh, yeah.
You're having
I'm dead,
trouble.
Sure.
Have you read anything else by Betsy Byers?
I don't think so, no.
I remember when I was a kid, she was a big, big author. She was very popular.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I think we were looking in this one, and it was published in 1977.
Yeah, and mine was published in 1950.
Oh.
Old books today.
Yeah.
The 2000 pound
I have
gold
new books. But that's cool. So you read this last year?
Yeah.
And would you suggest it for a certain age range? Or you said it was a pretty easy read, but thematically, is it appropriate for younger kids? Or
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the text is a little smaller, even though it's a smaller book. The text is a little smaller, but it's just sort of the kind of book like you wouldn't get into a series or anything. It's just a good book to just read.
Cool. Quinn's busy reading the back. Details. Well, while you're reading the back of that, I'm going to talk about a couple books.
Oh, that's...
If that's okay.
Hi.
So I went to an author event yesterday at Oblong Books and Music in Rhinebeck. And there were five authors that were there as part of the Stages on Pages tour, which is a tour of young adult and middle grade authors who all either write about characters who are involved in performing arts, or the authors are performing artists in addition to being writers. In most cases, both of those things are true.
Last
night, of the five authors, four of them wrote stories that featured a performing art. Two featured violinists. One was a dancer.
Ooh, dancer.
One was a veena player, which is a stringed instrument from India. Mm-hmm. And one was an exorcist. So that one was not a musical one.
What's an exorcist?
That's someone who banishes demons.
Oh.
So that was the one author.
Oh, I've heard of that before.
Yeah.
In Egyptian mythology or something. Execration. You connect, it's sort of like sympathetic magic. If there's a corkscrew demon.
Sympathetic magic.
It's a Rick Riordan thing. If there's a demon with a corkscrew head, and then you can connect a regular corkscrew with that, and then use... Sorry.
Well, this person doesn't do that. But so she was the one author that was there, Gretchen McNeil, who brought her book Possess. Her book is not about a performing art, but she was trained as an opera singer. Then started writing. And this was her first book. So the book has nothing to do with performing arts, but because she has this performance art background, she was there. But I brought two of the books today, which I have not read yet, but I thought I could.
I like that cover.
This one?
Vanished.
Yes, there's a book called Vanished by Sheila Chari. And the cover art is by an artist named John Klassen, I believe. I'm not sure if it's Klassen or Klassen.
Reminds me of Pseudonymous Bosch's book covers.
Oh, yeah. It's a very beautiful cover.
It does.
And
yeah, it's gorgeous.
Usually an author doesn't get to choose their cover artist or the designer of their cover.
Why?
Because it's a business and people that...
What? That's other people totally decide, unfair. Usually.
Yeah.
It's their book. They should have total say in what happens in
it.
Yeah.
It's just not how it usually
it's
works. But in this
sad.
Case, in this case, her agent was the same as the agent for this illustrator. And so she was able in her situation to choose the cover to a certain extent.
Hmm.
But this book is about a young girl who's 11 years old. She's 11 years old. Her name's Neela. And
I like that name.
She wants to be a famous musician. And she plays an instrument called a veena, which is a stringed instrument.
Wait, what's her name?
Her name is Neela.
Neela Veena. Neela, she plays a veena. That's
a veena.
Veena.
Like
that's funny.
And so she had gotten a present from her grandmother that was this beautiful, intricately carved veena. And then one day it goes missing from the local church. And so it sets off this mystery. So it's the mystery of this instrument.
Is it valuable or some way? Is that why?
Well,
it seems like it's mostly...
It's valuable to her, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely valuable to her.
It's her possession that she loves. Mm-hmm. She.
I mean, I think most stringed instruments tend to be pretty valuable, but also because it's a gift from her grandmother and it's really nicely carved.
And if she wants to be a famous singer, she can't do it without an instrument.
Mm-hmm.
So. And I'm going to be 11 in 10 days. So
congratulations.
Happy birthday. Thanksgiving birthday, too.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
But anyways, this is a mystery. And the author, when she was growing up, the author is Indian American. She was born in India and moved to the U.S. when she was very young.
Mm-hmm.
And she really liked mysteries growing up, like Nancy Drew. I don't remember what other ones. But she loved mysteries, but they never featured... characters like her who are Indian American. Mm-hmm. And so she wanted to write a story that would represent someone that's more like her.
Cool.
And there is a part of it that takes place in India, so that's pretty cool.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Wait, does she live in India or no?
She lives in the U.S.
Okay.
She was born in India. She was actually born in the city that I spent a semester of college in.
Oh, cool.
Pretty cool. But that's not where the book takes place.
Oh.
What's
that one about?
So that's called Vanished by Sheila Chari. and that's out right now. And the other one is called Second Fiddle, which is by Roseanne Perry. And this one, I want to read the back of it, because the back is very
good. Have you read
good.
These books yet or no?
I haven't. I just got them yesterday.
Awesome. Oh, yeah. Duh. Sorry.
And this one's a historical fiction novel. It's set way, way, way long ago.
Wait, can I see the cover?
In 1990.
Oh.
It's not that long ago.
My sister was born then.
That's why I was getting confused, because on the cover it looks like a girl and a regular.
Yeah. So it takes place in West Berlin, and it's right after the fall of the Berlin Wall. And on the back it says, if we had known it would eventually involve the KGB, the French National Police, and the Supreme Allied Commander in Europe, we would have left that body in the river and called the police like any normal German citizen. But we were Americans and addicted to solving other people's problems. So naturally, we got involved. So from what I know of the story, which, again, I haven't read it, there's a young American girl who's living in Germany with her military family. But her dad's retiring from the army, and she's going to be moving back to the States and leaving her two best friends. Who the three of them are in a string trio together. So they're musicians.
Oh, that's cool.
And before she moves back to the U.S., the three of them are planning a trip to Paris where they're going to compete in a classical music contest. And she's hoping that winning this contest will make up for the fact that she's about to leave her best friends. But as they're walking home from their final music lesson before this competition, they witness a crime.
Oh, goodness.
And so they have to...
What sort of crime?
I don't know exactly because I haven't read the book.
Well, it said on the back, a body in the river.
So I'm guessing a murder of some sort.
My understanding of it is that there's a Soviet soldier involved, and they save his life in some way. It's in Germany.
Oh, okay.
But that they save his life in some way, and that their lives kind of get sort of entangled with his because of that. It sounds very interesting, and I like that it's historical fiction that's set so recently.
Yeah.
And it's only, 21 years ago?
Yeah, 21 years ago.
Which I guess is longer.
No, that's not that long.
And you two weren't born yet.
And we're so old.
I was in middle school.
What?
But yeah, these both sound really great, and I'm excited to read them. And the other books that were shown there also sounded great, but... they were more for teens, so I brought these two to share with you all.
So wait, how old is the person in Second Fiddle?
In Second Fiddle, she's 14, I believe. I might be making that up. Where did I see that?
She's only...
I might be making it up. I don't know where I found 14. But I would guess she's a young teen.
Yeah, that's what I'm guessing from the cover a little bit.
Because I think at the talk, the author mentioned that there was a moment when they thought about making it a young adult title instead of a middle grade title. And if they were going to do that, they would have made her older. But they decided to keep it middle grade, and so to, you know, hold back some violence that was potentially going to be in the story and keep the character younger.
Are these all about mystery books that were there?
No.
It just seemed that those two were.
I'm not sure if this one, if Second Fiddle is a mystery or not. It seems like it's more of an adventure story. Whereas Vanished is a mystery.
Just
a mystery. That has like little funny clues and.
Yeah. To like who stole the.
Yeah.
Vina.
Well, fun fact too. So a Vina is a stringed instrument from India.
I keep wanting to say Vila.
Vila. Oh, and I
That's a cool name.
Vila. Yeah.
Vila. Yeah, Vila.
Well, I like the name Vina because when I lived in India, that was my host sister's name. So the family I lived with.
Both are
her
good
name
names.
Was Vina, and she was named after the instrument, and her twin sister was named after the goddess Sarasvati, who's also known as Vani. And Vina, or Vani, goddess Sarasvati, is almost always depicted with her instrument, which is a Vina. So it's the idea that the two twins were inseparable,
That's
which I thought
cool.
was very sweet.
Yes, that is.
So Makes me feel all cozy with the vina. And the vila.
Yeah.
Vina.
What else have you all been reading lately? Anything good?
I'm
anything bad?
Finishing the Wang Doodle book.
Oh, yeah. The Julie week. Andrews one. Or Julie Edwards.
Yeah, I'm reading a lot of books. I'm reading The Phantom Tollbooth.
Oh, that's a really good book. I love that book.
I got a new copy of that.
Yeah.
I haven't started it yet.
It's really funny. My grandfather told me that he thought it was a very good book.
It is funny.
I'm pretty sure it is celebrating its 50th anniversary recently.
Yeah. That's why, probably.
Yeah, that's why I decided to get a copy. Because I hadn't read it since I was a kid. I was in the play The Phantom Tollbooth once, too.
Awesome, that'd be a cool play.
They had The Phantom Tollbooth somewhere around.
I didn't know what was happening.
What do you mean you didn't know what was?
I didn't understand the story when I was a kid.
How old were you?
It was bizarre. I don't know. Probably a little younger than you guys. Uh-huh. 8, 9. So I want to read it again.
Just saying.
I think the story is pretty silly and at times nonsensical from what I've heard of it.
Yeah, same as Wang Doodle, the last of the really great Wang Doodles. I like stories like that, though, with, oinks and procs and Wang Doodles.
I'm still unsure about oinks,
Sidebenders.
Though. Oinks.
They're like this creature in the Wang Doodle book. They're these creatures that are pretty clueless. They've got toes, and they obsess about their toes all the time. And they're meant to confuse you. And they just stare around and do nothing and forget everything.
And talk about their toes.
Yes, make songs about their toes. If I had 11 toes, I would use one for a nose.
Why would you do that?
No. And then it goes on about how a nose would be very insensible in this hot weather or whatever.
Oh, dear.
And you prefer toes to nose because...
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we're kind of out of time.
Yeah.
Sad. So, but now it's time to read some books. While we listen to the afternoon show, because we multitask.
Yes.
Here at Bound by Books.
Very good.
Yeah.
Yes.
But do tune in next week, Monday, 3:30.
Friday, from 3:30 to 4 p.m.
Take it away.
For Youth Produced and Youth Friendly Radio.
Have a nice day.